This is Stateside. I'm April Bear. Kids all across Michigan are facing so much disruption to their daily routines and support systems when schools were shut down due to the spread of COVID-19. Some of them are dealing with a lot of things at home, too. For students who count on additional programming, as in beyond the classroom, the virus has shaken up yet another pillar of consistency in their lives. With us today is Sean Wilson. He's the president and CEO of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southeastern Michigan. It's a nonprofit that provides kids a safe place to be. Sean Wilson, welcome to Stateside.
April, thank you for having me.
How are you and your staff doing?
We're doing well. We're here at one of our clubs preparing to reopen for children of essential workers next week. You know, it's been about 3 weeks of benchmarking nationally and really making sure that we could reopen in a way that, you know, has the highest safety, quality, and procedures in place. So it's a busy and important day for us.
How big of an effort is that? Do you know yet exactly how many workers' kids might need service right now?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things we've been doing weekly polls with our parents just to gauge all of their needs from childcare to food, security. And what we know from our weekly surveys is that 64% of our parents who are currently employed have to go into work, which means they're on the front lines. And right now what they're doing is they're finding other means. Like Detroiters do, they're figuring it out. They're making a way. But unfortunately, that could mean leaving their kids with an older sibling. It could mean leaving their kids with a neighbor that they may or may not know well. And so we've been receiving requests weekly for us to open up for essential workers, frontline workers. And we wanted to do it, but we also wanted to make sure that we're doing it as safely as possible, not only for the kids, but our workers. It's a big decision, you know, and we had to take our safety precautions and procedures through, you know, our board committees, our safety committee, our executive committee, our finance committee, our HR committee. And after about 3 weeks of work, we're finally ready to start taking registrations this week. And next week, we'll open our doors.
I think a lot of people are probably familiar with the after-school programs that the Boys and Girls Club offer. But what other programming and services did you have in the works before COVID-19 set in?
You know, it's really crazy because I've been on board as the president and CEO of Boys and Girls Club for about a year and a half. You know, really with the intent of reimagining the model and coming in the door, listening to our kids, listening to the parents, listening to the community, it became clear that although Boys and Girls Clubs is an important model when it comes to providing kids with a safe place, there's just an opportunity to do so much more. And so we're really in this exciting time before COVID-19 of reimagining the work that we're doing, which really, you know, allow kids to take advantage of high tech and introduce them to careers. Our whole model shifted to this economic mobility model, because what we heard over and over again is that if we truly want to help our kids, we have to help lift them out of poverty. And with, you know, close to 50% of Michigan youth living in poverty, it became clear that if we want to truly impact them, we have to impact the core root of a lot of the problems that they're faced: food insecurity, gun violence, you know, those things. And the root cause of that is poverty. And so, long story short, we had raised about $6.8 million towards reimagining our clubs. We did a phase one renovation of one of our clubs as the prototype. We're the first Boys and Girls Club in the country to offer co-working space for parents, for adults.
Wow.
We're the first Boys and Girls Club in the country to focus on vocational training for parents and adults, you know, because we wanted to get out of the mindset of, if we do our job one day in 20 years, these kids will be successful. Yes, we want to continue that, but we also want to make sure that we could do some things that would change their life today. And if you think about helping their mom or their dad launch a small business or to skill up so they can make more money, that changes a kid's life overnight. It was a really exciting time, and then COVID hit.
I know that some clubs are doing virtual sessions with the kids. What are those like?
Absolutely. So within 4 days, we launched a virtual club experience for our kids, because for so many of our youth, we are that safe place that the kids go to after school every day. They come here to connect with our staff, who are those caring and connected adults that are so important in their lives. And to just not provide any experience wasn't an option. And at first, we were trying to really mimic what was happening in our clubs day to day. But it became clear that our kids are dealing with trauma. And our staff are so amazing because they identified like, hey, they're showing signs of depression. They're showing signs of high anxiety. And so we pivoted our virtual club model to really just give them a mental break every day from 3 to 5 from what was going on with COVID. That includes a live DJ every day. So it's a interactive dance party with the kids. And then we'll go into some kind of engagement where they're competing in virtual games against each other or doing a talent show. And then we bring on special guests to lead specific classes. It might be around STEM or STEAM, or it could be a dance class or whatnot. And that was really a strong pivot for us because it kept our kids connected and it kept our staff connected in a really troubling and scary time.
I certainly understand that the point of this, at least in part, is to give kids who may have grief and trauma in their homes some place to sort of let it out and not think about the very serious things going on in their world. But would you say that some of those emotions that they're feeling are evident when they're involved in the virtual meetings?
Well, it definitely is. You know, once again, our staff, they know these kids so well. You know, they could tell when a kid was pulling back, when they weren't engaging, when they weren't smiling, when they were demonstrating some of those signs, you know, or even things that they were saying, the kids were saying, you could pick up on it. Every Friday, we do an assessment to be able to gauge their anxiety level. And every week, you know, you're seeing over half of the kids self-reporting signs of anxiety. And so what that allows us to do is then take interventions offline. Our staff then know that that's a kid, you know, hey, April reported this. So, you know, April is someone who we need to reach out to personally and just check on. Hey, just checking on you from the club. And that goes a long way. It's also connecting with April's mom or dad to say, hey, we noticed this, you know, and here's some virtual solutions that can help. And, you know, that's what Boys and Girls Clubs are all about. Like, we're family. You know, we go beyond just the kids coming in daily and then they go home. It really is a family for these kids.
What kind of impact has the pandemic had on your financial resources?
It was brutal. $2 million hit. And a big portion of that is revenue from events. So, you know, we have an annual golf outing, automotive classic golf outing with the automotive industry that nets us $500,000 a year. And then, you know, we bring in another $500,000 from Charity Preview, the auto show. And then we have a slew of other events. And I think that's the world of nonprofit. But to have that go away overnight, $1 million of that we're counting on in May and June. But once again, we have an entrepreneurial mindset. You know, we can't control the hand that we were dealt, but we can, you know, play the hell out of that hand. And so we looked at our assets, saw what we had, and, you know, we had this amazing virtual club experience that we were building every day and growing. And we have an amazing Rolodex of influencers and celebrities that we can call on. And so we combined the two and did a virtual fundraiser, planned it in 2 weeks, really probably a week and a half, my staff would say. But, you know, I think it was closer to 2 weeks. And we raised over 300,000. We set a goal of 100,000 and we tripled our goal.
Wow.
And then we've been getting some emergency funds as well. So that's helping to close the gap. Some anonymous individual donors are stepping up. You know, we have a lot of alumni. Everyone's stepping up. We've been around for 94 years, which means we've been through all kinds of crises as an organization. Our brand is to be that safe place. So we have to kind of stick to that, whether that's in person or virtually. It doesn't matter.
It sounds like out of necessity, you've been innovating and coming up with some pretty quick adaptations, but the process must be really challenging. I was wondering just what's getting you through right now.
You know, my family, my kids. You know, I lost a good friend the first week or so, Marlo Stoudemire.
Yes.
He's one of the first reported deaths. And, you know, that really hit me hard. You know, I get emotional even thinking about it now, you know, because he was such a good guy and only 43 years old. Mm-hmm. And to see that, you know, him lose his life and his wife and his kids is really tough, you know. But I think what gets me through is knowing that I'm blessed to still be here with my family for one, and then two, we still have a mission. There's still a need that the kids have in Detroit and across Southeastern Michigan. And so, you know, I think it's one of those moments where you have to take a knee and, you know, let your emotions get the best of you for a minute, but then you have to pick yourself up and say, hey, you know, my family needs me, the community needs us. as a staff and as an organization, and you got to push through. This is a moment where everybody is struggling. Everyone is up against the wall. And I think, but this is also the time when we can all come together and do some amazing things. This is when innovation is born. You know, new models emerge. And I would just, you know, I think it's important that we all challenge each other to be the best version of ourselves and, you know, think outside the box to create something special that comes out of this horrific moment in our history.
Mr. Wilson, thank you so much for everything that you and your staff are doing right now.
Thank you for the time.
Sean Wilson is president and CEO of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southeastern Michigan.